The title, of course, a line from the Gettysburg Address. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. Jeff, how did you come to find it, quote, altogether fitting and proper that you should do this?
Well, I started reading about Lincoln when my wife Shelby was in Doylestown Hospital, and she was there for 8 weeks, unconscious, and I had a lot of reading time. And the first exposure to Lincoln beyond just what I learned in school was an excerpt from Smithsonian Magazine and a book called Manhunt by James L. Swanson. And it was an excerpt that I tore through and bought the book, read it in 2 days. And then I remembered that we had a Lincoln biography that I think we couldn't sell it at a garage sale, and we still had it, called With Malice Toward None by Stephen Oates. It put the hook in me. He's a fascinating man, Abraham Lincoln. Beyond his accomplishments, the man himself, he was just struck me as very interesting. So I started reading more, and then a friend and I went to the various Lincoln National Parks in Kentucky, Indiana, and Illinois, and the majority focused on his youth. And in that process, I discovered that there's a real unsung hero in the life of Abraham Lincoln, that being his stepmother, Sarah Bush Lincoln.
And the story is told in the context of a historical fiction, as it were. I'm kind of thinking like the Steven Spielberg portrait of Lincoln and Daniel Day-Lewis.
Correct. That story focuses on Lincoln as president. This book, there's 10 chapters. Each is a story or a yarn told by his stepmother to William H. Herndon. And the background is, this is a fictional recreation of an actual event. September 8th, 1865, Lincoln has been dead for about 5 months, and his longtime friend and law partner, William H. Herndon, began writing a biography of him. And he was surprised to learn that Lincoln's stepmother was still alive, and that was the first place he went, to her prairie cabin home on Goose Nest Prairie in Illinois, to interview her. So there is a lot of first-person, real, authentic Sarah Bush Lincoln. And then in addition to that, there's a lot of first-person from other sources to provide a good deal of authenticity to the story.
Let's thank Grimm's Fairy Tales for making the term stepmother a pejorative, although Lincoln apparently thought it seamless between his biological mother, then a 14-month interruption, and then Sarah, his stepmother, coming into his life.
That's exactly right. He is quoted as saying, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." That's very Lincoln, because it leaves you with more questions than answers. Which mother? Fortunately, he was asked that directly later, and you're exactly right. He said both.
What an interesting person she was. She recognized this intellectual hunger in Abraham and fed him books, and though she herself was illiterate.
That's exactly right. She said, "I didn't have much of an education, but I know what education can do for someone." And she recognized the diamond when the rest of the world saw the rough. And that's what mothers do.
Sarah came upon young Abraham, and it had been 14 months since he had any semblance of a mother figure in his life. What did she encounter?
Abe Lincoln at that time was filthy, malnourished. He had lice in his hair. He was not much different than the wilderness creatures around him.
Put that in context, though. Were many boys like that then, or this was off the charts even in that time?
It was off the charts because those other boys had mothers that wouldn't let them descend the way he had. As it was told later, Tom Lincoln wasn't worth shucks during that 14 months. Tom Lincoln is a hard person to pin down in history because, just as an example, he had more tools than any other carpenter. He was one of the finest carpenters in the area, and yet they lived on three-legged stools, dirt floors. It was really squalor.
Clearly his forte was not building families.
Correct. Yet he was a good man, but that's why he's so difficult in history. The common term assigned to him was shiftless. She found Tom Lincoln's son, not Nancy Hanks Lincoln's son, when she arrived, and he was about as bad off as a person can be.
But she embraced that reclamation project.
Very much so. With vigor, that's who she was.
Abraham credits his stepmother with giving him wings to do almost anything, but ironically, she did not want him to serve as president.
Correct. She had a premonition that he would be killed, which makes their farewell very moving because their final exchange is documented. She says, "I'm afraid I'll never see you again. There are people who hate you, who want to kill you." And he says, "No, no, that's not going to happen. No matter what happens, I'll see you again." And she said, "God bless and keep you, my good son." And those were her final words.
Those words and everything in the book is written as the exchange between the attorney and the stepmother. And it's written in, what is it called, plain speak of that time.
Yeah, I really did my best to capture the dialect. And the initial feedback when I was done was, this is unreadable. So I had to do a couple drafts to make it more readable, converting some of the dialect into words that we would recognize. The feedback that I've received thus far is that you really feel like you're sitting right there.
What liberties did you take, though, in deviating from what is actually known to be fact?
Very few. The only time I would deviate from the first person was where it just didn't exist. And so I had to use my imagination as to what the exchange might be like. And in those instances, those are opportunities to reveal character.
Would you deem it an exaggeration to contend that she was perhaps the greatest single influence on his life?
Not at all. I would think he would agree with that as well.
Tell us a little about your personal background. I understand this is your first foray into writing.
First and probably last, this was just a story that was inside me. It's curious and remarkable to me that it's virtually untold. There are two books written about Sarah Bush Lincoln, but other than that, you really don't get much about her. And yet, without her, we probably would not know who Abraham Lincoln is.
On the back cover, we note that part of the proceeds of the book go to the Greater Philadelphia ALS chapter. Explain.
My wife and I moved out to the Philadelphia area from Columbus, Ohio, about 20 years ago. And it wasn't very long after we arrived that at age 28, my wife Shelby was diagnosed with ALS, commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And we were stunned, as, you know, it's a disease that is more commonly found in older people. Fortunately, the Philadelphia ALS Association, bar none, is head and shoulders above any other local chapter. We just were exposed to such an incredible organization, such an amazing collection of caring, dedicated people. I don't even know that she would still be here were it not for such an incredible organization. It just so happens that Sarah Bush Lincoln's daughter-in-law passed away of ALS-like symptoms. There was no diagnosis of ALS then. So it provided me with an opportunity to write a little tribute to the strength of people who can't move a muscle.
Does your wife share your passion for Lincoln, and or did she help with the edits?
Not at all.
Who is the intended audience for your book?
I have done everything that I can to make history interesting. I've done that with the structure, with the content. So when I say the structure, it's 10 yarns, 10 stories. It's not told in a, you know, the Missouri Compromise occurred in 1820. And it's my aspiration that your everyday citizen who may not necessarily pick up a history book might find this interesting. It's ultimately at its core the story of a mom and her son. It's told from the vantage point of a mother, something that everyone can relate to.
And indeed, had Sarah not been in his life, one's left to wonder if he would have ascended to the presidency.
It would have been extremely unlikely. I mean, maybe because certain people, you know, regardless of their circumstances, would find their way. But as you read the story, she brought the books that he read that taught him how to be a public speaker. And just as important, she told him that he could be so much more. When everyone around him just saw him as this awkward, jokey Joe, she told him that he could be so much more and defended his time to study when his father saw this unusually large boy. They were subsistence farmers, and any time that he wasn't in the field was wasted time. And she didn't see it that way.
Is it fair to surmise what career or life path Abraham Lincoln might have taken had he not gone this specific route?
They live very close to the Ohio River, and at one point he wanted to be a riverboat captain. So In the book, I say at best he may have been a riverboat captain. At worst, he would have been bear food. If I had to guess, that's what I would say he probably would have become.
This is your first foray into writing, and we're holding the paperback copy here. Is it also available in digital form, and with that, the possibility of linking to so much of the corpus around Lincoln and his lore?
Yes, it's available on Amazon. There is a Kindle version. And within the story itself, I will make references. For example, earlier we spoke about copperheads. And there's no explanation of what a copperhead is. And so that can be a multi-platform link if somebody's interested to say, well, what does that mean? And so, again, it would be an honor beyond my ability to comprehend if I could help people to understand this amazing story, because this is the story of us, and we're not that far removed from it. It's the crucible. It's everything is on the line. You know, the last words of the Gettysburg Address are that government of the people, for the people, by the people, shall not perish from the earth. Self-government is on the line. Freedom from slavery is on the line. If I could provide a teaching tool for people that didn't feel like education, you know, I've tried to make it so that the vegetables are very finely diced, but the nutrients are in there within the context of story.
Thank you so much for spending time with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Jeff Oppenheimer, New Hope resident, author of the new book entitled That Nation Might Live, A Story of Motherhood, Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War, One Afternoon with Lincoln's Stepmother.